This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Alright, party people in the place to be. This is a new episode of Nerds from the Underground. This is me, Johnny Alpha from Graphic Vandalism, saying, what's up, y'all? And with me is always the awesome Fred.
Yes, and I have no love for hobbits. Let's get that right, Johnny.
You love them, man.
No, I don't.
Well, what's up with that Frodo Baggins figure up? Oh, wait, no, that's the Joker. Never mind. It looks just like Frodo, though.
No, I would burn that shit.
So, what do we got on the show tonight, Fred? What do we got for the fans?
Well, I know you want to talk about Killtopia, and then we also have Sync and Hot Lunch Special, which is one of my absolute favorite comics. So I can't wait to get into it.
Oh hell yeah! You want to just like jump right on into Killtopia?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, here's the solicit. Okay, Japan is about to get wrecked. The bounty on Crash's head has gone public, and Killtopia's deadliest mech hunters are ready to collect. Leading the charge is King Kaiju, a mechanized corporate mascot of death who belongs to the evil Kaiju Cola Mega Corporation. There is just one problem. The world's greatest wrecker, Stiletto, has gotten to Crash first. Their explosive showdown sends Stiletto's peak celebrity status into flaming tailspin, and that threatens to change Japan forever. And man, this book is just completely insanely awesome. We got this whole just like rash of amazing comic books coming out of the UK right now. We got like Frank at Home at the Farm, we got Sync, we got pretty much anything Comic Tribe's putting out, and now this Killtopia from the Underground. And these guys, Dave Cook and Craig Patton, they have a genuine love for very 80s and 90s style cyberpunk crazy action. Like, there's a lot of allusions to Akira and, you know, like Appleseed and old anime to this, but there's also this really neat connection to 2080 magazine and comics like Judge Dredd as well, which I think is just completely wonderful about this book. It has just finished its second campaign for the second book on Kickstarter. It's a total success. Dave Cook has told me that he's already written most of three, and he's sending it to Craig Patton to have it drawn. And I'm just so very excited, man. I mean, like, you've looked at the art, Fred. You've read this a bit. And, man, like, you had a couple things you wanted to say.
Yeah, I definitely got, like, a big feel, I definitely got a feeling that it was, like, anime, like, manga, video game kind of inspired art. The colors were, man, so much color. I totally dug that. I really liked, like, the, like, hip-hop characters and Kaiju Cola, man. Where can I get some of that shit?
Straight up. Yeah, they should actually like make some of that and sell it to fans, kind of like, you know, how Fallout did with the Nuka-Cola. They actually put bottles of that out for the fans to go buy. That would be so rad if like Killtopia actually got big enough where we could actually get cans of Kaiju Cola, because the logo's rad, and a King Kaiju, the mech itself, is just beautiful. It's kind of like a weird play off the character Kaneda from Akira. Like, it's like a mix between him and his motorcycle, but made into like a cheesy kind of cyborg mech robot. I think it's a really neat look. I think that it shows a lot of love from the creators for these old properties that they just dove into, and they made something of their own out of it, and it's beautiful. I think that it dwarfs anything that like big corporations try to put out, like Ready Player One, to try to capture this old video game and comic book and anime feel, and it just does it right, in my opinion, because these people are actually, you know, live it. They're not Steven Spielberg thinking like, oh, the kids like that, you know, like these guys are actually the kids, you know what I mean? So and it's just an incredible book. I mean, I really can't say enough nice things about it. And when the third issues campaign goes live, we will be sure to let you know so you can help back it, because Killtopia is definitely the type of thing you really want to check out. Dave Cook has actually has quite a few books under his belt that he's working on and has Kickstarters for, and Craig Patton's art is just wonderful. Like Fred said, the colors are beautiful. His characters are very, very emotive and very... you can tell who's who, you know what I mean? Like, right. For an indie book, it's very clear. So, yeah, this is definitely something you're going to want to check out.
Yeah, definitely. And you can pick it up at, like, what, the first volume off on Amazon? And then I think the second volume releases here in the States sometime in December. I want to say, like, the second week of December. But, yeah, just check it out. It'll tell you, because it's already there online. I checked it out this morning.
Yeah, you can pre-order it, so you can have that ready to get shipped to you for Christmas. It'll be a wonderful gift under your tree for yourself, because I'm definitely going to be getting one and wrapping it, I guess, and putting it under the tree for myself.
You do that?
No, but I am going to buy you some Hobbit figures and wrap them up and send them
okay.
to you.
Okay, all right. All right, well, you ready to jump into the sink?
Oh yeah, this book, this is my jam right here. I absolutely adore this book. A forgotten East End district of the warped funhouse mirror version of Glasgow, Scotland. Sink Hill is five crooks, deviants, and killers, and ordinary folk unfortunate enough to live among them. If killer clowns prowl the streets in a blue van, a shovel-wielding vigilante in a fox mask serves brutal justice after dark, and the last bus home is always full of corpses, you must be in Sink Hill. And yeah, man, you want to start this off, because I have a hell of a story about it.
I never knew about this book until, like, I believe, like, when you and I first discussed about doing books maybe a few months back, and you mentioned, hey, you should check out this book, it's really wild, it's crazy, it has Alex Cormack's art. And I was like, oh, wow, man, I'm reading, like, Road of Bones right now, and his art kills. So, you know, I started, like, looking, reading this book, and I was like, oh, shit, his art is magnificent. It's just like Road of Bones. There's tons of blood. Blood everywhere. And, you know, growing up as a kid, you know, in having kids of my own, being afraid of cargo vans is a thing. So, especially white cargo vans. We call them creepers. So when you have clowns in them and stuff, it's definitely pretty scary. But this book, I really like the first issue where the dude thought he was, or the first chapter, because what is it? Five issues in this book, right?
Five issues, five different stories. Yes. Yeah, and the first one is about a dipshit who thinks that he is part of the neighborhood when he's obviously only just a visitor, which is just, yeah.
Right, that's the part that gets me, because he wants to claim a city, but he's scared as hell of that city. And that isn't that the truth, you know, living around. I grew up in Flint, Michigan. There's a lot of people claiming FLI, and they weren't from there, and they scared shitless once it got dark, I'll tell you that. And that's what this dude did in this book. Man, you know, like, was it the first one and the fourth one are definitely, like, two of my favorite stories in this book. The fourth one happens to be with the group of the kids where they are searching for the clowns, if I remember correctly.
And yeah, it is the antithesis of coming of age stories. I mean, it's just so well done, so well put together.
Yeah. I'll let you get into your thing, and maybe we can just bounce back and forth off of each other.
All right. So it's pretty much a whole year now since I found this at an LCS, and I don't even know why, because I can't get this comic book shop to even get me Vault comics. But for some reason, middle of nowhere, I see this at my LCS. I see this book with this clown with this nasty-ass teeth, and the book's wrapped in cellophane. Like, I can't even flip through it, but I'm just looking at this damn thing, and I'm just getting this energy from it telling me, like, dude, you need to read this. You need to buy this and read this. So I did, and when I got home, like, I unwrapped it, and card fell out, and, like, it comes with that's why it was wrapped in cellophane. It comes with the downloadable soundtrack, and, like, you get all kinds of extra features, but That's besides the point, because I just dove right in, and like you said, the first issue just sets the tone, and oh my god, it's just brutal, and it's meant to be. Like, first off, you get this kid, and like he's actually you know, he's grooving. He's not too scared at first. Then he runs into the dickheads. That's actually what the gang's called. They wear condoms on their heads, yeah. And they're literally called the dickheads. And then they're the least scary ones. He runs into the fox hunters and like all these really creepy individuals. And then the worst thing, the person that actually could have helped him, he's actually the scared of the most. He runs into Mr. Dig, the fox with the vigilante with the fox mask, and man, like that was his one hope. And like you were talking about the clowns in the van. See the van. Yeah, dude, like, when I was a kid, like, I was creeped out by him, but, like, I've always been afraid of clowns, and no, it's not because of it. Like, it didn't help, but, like, the clowns in general are just a terrifying thing for me.
Oh, wow.
And the way that they're utilized in this I thought was great, and I actually really, really love the second issue, just because of just how cerebral and just menacing the twist at the end is. It's some warped escape fantasy for the lady. You think that something else is happening, and then when it clicks to you what the actual issue is about, you're just like, man, that's fucking deep. That's brutal. That's good stuff. Yeah. And like right after I read that, I went right on Twitter and I was like, dude, I want to find this John Lee's guy. I want to talk to him. And like I found him on Twitter and I was like, dude, yeah, I found your book. I bought it. Like that second issue. Oh my God, dude, that was. And then I got the issue 4 and like how beautifully that issue ties to the second one, because the one kid who has the same nightmares is that lady's son. And the kid that she helps disappear in issue 2 is the friend they're going looking for.
Yeah.
When they run into Mr. Dig, which is, oh, but I mean, it doesn't hold your hand and tell you that. You got to like look at the details of the book, and then you get the really excellent third issue about the probably my favorite trans character in comic history. I mean, that character is just so badass. She just comes back to town and just rips a new asshole. And then the fifth one, yeah, it's a little lackluster for the rest of the book, but I like the way it just kind of leaves you with like the somber tone at the end, where you just see all the characters and they're hopeful, but at the same time they're like crushed, and it's just like a really dramatic and brutal and hardcore ending to like a kind of a probably the most lighthearted issue ever, because you get to see all the characters you've met so far, mm-hmm. and how they actually deal day to day, and you're just like, wow, dude, these guys get it. These guys are doing something real with this.
Don't they call it like the Glasgow effect or something at the end of the issue? Isn't that what they say? Like some people might call it the Glasgow effect, but.
Oh, and another thing I really like is I've always joked about this, but if you get the trade, there's actually a short story at the end that is written by Alex Cormack and drawn by John Lee. So they did a total role reversal. And I thought that that was a really neat idea that I wished more comic creators would do. But here, let me get to the last page and see. We're all Glasgow. We're all Sink Hill. And yeah, that is a way to put it, because even though this book is seen as a complete fabrication and like a dark mirror version, It from what I understand, Glasgow is actually a really, really scary city. You kind of compared it to Flint. And from what I understand, that's actually kind of an apt description. If you read Frank Quitely's foreword at the beginning of the trade, he really sets the stage for this as like, even though this book's stylized and you know, gets silly in some points, there's some truth to like what's going on. Sure, there's no black magic. Mafia bosses, you know, that's all just horror fun. But what this guy's doing with the dogfights and the murder, that's actually really happening there.
Yeah, and the dog part, where the guy that basically runs the city, what's his name?
Cy MacReady?
Cy MacReady, yeah. Like, he gives the girl the dog and stuff at the end and kind of shows some heart and stuff. And you see, like, a different side, like, even though, like, there's so many bad things happening, there is a little good that's happening at the end. And it kind of makes you feel like you start to forget some things. But that art, man, with all that blood and stuff, it's hard to forget some of those things.
Oh, yeah. And that's another thing. Like, I fell in love with Alex Cormack right off the jump with this. And, like, I was wondering for the longest time, why isn't this guy getting, like, from between Sink and Road of Bones, I was like, What's taking these people so long? That this guy is just an untapped jewel, especially for horror comics. And like right now, we live in a golden age of horror comics. You got like Ice Cream Man, you got all the stuff Aftershock's putting out, you got Vault. I mean, this is just a wonderful time for horror comics already. And then you got this talent like Alex Cormack coming out, where he just personifies the gorehound ethic. I mean, like when somebody gets cut, I mean, just you get some it just gets almost cartoonish, but it's very well rendered. His art is very clean, it's very nice. And yeah, going into Road of Bones, he kind of gets a little different with that, because that's a little more slow burning. But
Yes.
when that gets nasty, it gets nasty. But this one's pretty gory really often, like especially the issue with the little kids, which you're actually surprised by at the end, with the you know, the kids walking out with Mr. Dig after the day's vigilantism, and they're just all covered in blood and smiling.
That, I mean, dude, I would have never even known what this book was, but I'm glad that I did read it, because I was like, after I read it, I was like, this is definitely like one of my top five probably favorite horror books. So I was like, I wouldn't have read it if it wasn't your recommendation. Now we're recommending it to people, so.
Word. Well, I mean, I right after I read it, I did a video, and it's actually one of my most popular videos that I've done recently. It's got almost 400 views, which is huge for my channel. But yeah, like I was actually one of the first people to do a comprehensive review of the whole series at that point. The second volume is actually just about to come out. It drops in November. They just finished the Kickstarter for that. It went through all kinds of stretch goals. There's so many different versions of this book coming out. There's a hardcover. There's all kinds of cool covers. So look for that, because those are all dropping in November. But yeah, dude, like Welcome to Glasgow is that's out. It's available now. And if you're a fan of horror and you have not read this yet, man, yeah, really need to get on that, because like Fred said, dude, this is unreal good stuff. Like you have this and you have Ice Cream Man, and like those are the two like kind of anthology, like a story for each issue books that if you're not reading, man, there's something wrong with you, or you're not a horror fan, which is okay if you're not, but like if you are, you should be reading both Sink and Ice Cream Man to get a story.
So, Rico, if you're listening, you need to buy this.
Straight up. Straight up, brother. Buy it, Rico.
You ready to jump into Hot Lunch?
Oh heck yeah. The big one. The book that I've been waiting to talk about. Blood is thick, or is blood thicker than sandwich? The Couries are a classic immigrant success story. A Lebanese family who carved their slice of the American dream by becoming the largest distributors of vending machine sandwiches in the upper northern Midwest. Unfortunately, the Couries' gain has been ill-gotten, and a bunch of Chicago Irish mob has come back to collect a past debt. Fealty is demanded. Shots are fired, and long-hidden family secrets are fully revealed. Now, Dorothy Corey, the daughter of the family patriarch, is forced to unite her splintered bloodline and fight back. Written by Elliot Rahal, cult classic The Paybacks and Quantum and Woody, with art by Jorge Fornes, Amazing X-Men, Wolverine, Magnus. Hot Lunch Special is a Midwestern noir series about family, food, and the fight for survival. Volume 1 collects the entire Corey saga, issues 1 through 5.
This is one of my favorite books of last year. Excuse me. I normally, if I see Taylor Esposito lettering any book, which he letters this book, I buy it immediately. I add it to my pull list, because he does some wild shit. Now, when he's paired with Elliot Rahal and Jorge Fornes, like these guys, this book is, not only is it beautiful, the dialogue by like Rahal and the storytelling is absolutely great, in my opinion. Like, it's like, I would say it feels like a True Detective meets like Fargo. Some people say Twin Peaks, you know, things like that. That's how the feeling I get to it. And it's straight up mobster shit, which I totally get down with. Yeah, man, I'm interested to know, because this is your first time reading it, how you feel about it, because I've talked about this on Street Level Floppies podcast many a times. I've talked about it on Indie Alley. I want to hear what you think think about it.
Well, see, one of the neatest things about it, and especially because of the first issues, it kind of sets up the same way mini-noir and mob crime drama set up. But the neatest thing about it is the differences, like the fact that it's about a Lebanese family. You never really get to hear about them in a crime setting, or usually at all. But like it was kind of neat to see them as the main figures in a noir drama. Then you got it set in Minnesota, of all places, and then you have it set around vending machine sandwiches. It's a mob story about, so it's got all these kind of almost silly aspects to it, but it's not a silly book at all. It's very hardcore. It's very brutal and serious. So so I'm reading it and like I think it's really well written, but like it's almost tropey. And until you get to the issue where after the Christmas party and the guys get caught and the issue at the police station happens, and the book just explodes. It goes in a completely different direction than I ever thought it was going reading the first couple issues, and I was blown away, man. I really, really enjoyed just the different style that the book had. Like there was a lot of still similar characters that you'd have in normal stories, but they were doing, this was a new story. I have never read this story in a noir comic, and I've read all kinds of noir comics, and I've read some that are the same thing over and over again, and I can enjoy that for what it is, but this is not that. This was actually a very, very pleasant surprise. I bought this book for the show because like I wanted to show my support and everything, and I kind of begrudgingly, because like I put back a couple things that I really wanted to get it, and now I don't regret it at all. I actually really enjoy and I love having this book as part of my Aftershock collection, and I can't wait to read Elliot's other work, because I know he's got another book that he just started. I have the first issue for it. I haven't read it yet, but I'm looking forward to that, and I'm blown away. Like I just love the finger in the sandwich started the whole thing. I mean, and it's very Coen Brothers, but I actually would say it's better than anything the Coen Brothers have ever done, because like Fargo, you have to wait. Actually, Fargo never gets as action-packed as this book starts out as, so like it already kind of dwarfs a lot of things people compare it to, because like you'd have to get to the Fargo TV show to get to like the excellence that this book is, because I think it's better than the Fargo film personally. I wouldn't say Twin Peaks, because it's not surreal. There's nothing metaphysical in it, like, so I wouldn't make that comparison, but True Detective, it's definitely better than the last two seasons of that. So yeah, I'd put it up with maybe the first season of that, and maybe the first two seasons or the first three seasons of the Fargo TV show. Yeah, it's that level of really excellent, very, very convincing noir story with really good characters. I really like Dorothy. I really like the brother that everybody thinks is a misfit, but he actually is one of the ones that actually helps come up with the plan that kind of saves them, but then you get the big twist, the semi-twist at the very end. So, all in all, yeah, dude, like, I'm completely in love with this book. I think it's wonderful. I know I kind of foreshadowed on Twitter that I might have a hot take about it, but that was just me building hype. I don't deal in negativity. If I didn't like this book, I would have asked to change. You know what I mean? I wouldn't have.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I really do enjoy it. I really like it. And I love the art in it. Like I was talking to you before, it almost feels, the art almost looks more old-timey than a modern book. So like I get a little lost, because sometimes on some of the panels it looks very 70s, but then you see them with cell phones and I get caught up like, no, it's a modern book. But I still really like the art. I think it's very, very clean, very, very noir, you know what I mean? Like, you know what you're looking at, you know what this book is,
right,
when you pick it up.
Yeah, I feel like the art sets the tone, because it's kind of dark, the dark colors and stuff that they use. I'm a big fan of that, but I didn't, in the first chapter, when you see, like, Dorothy's son get whacked, I would never thought, like, when you mentioned when they get to the police station, like, her leading the charge, and it kind of became a revenge story, don't you feel?
Yeah, well, I mean, when it got to the, before they got to the police station, when the Irish mobster's kid got caught going to the house, I figured that there would have been a shootout. You know what I mean? That's when everything subverted. When the one lady cop figured the whole thing out and busted them before like the actual thing that they were telegraphing for since issue one was coming, and it didn't come. And then like it went this completely different way, and it was wonderful. It's what the book needed to be, the one of a kind thing that it is.
Yes.
But I I didn't see it coming, and like, and that's what excites me about books. I hate when I get what I expect, and I didn't get what I expected with this book. So therefore, I fucking love it.
That was, they flipped the script right there on you, and you were like, "Oh damn, okay, I'm all in now."
Well, I mean, like, I'm not. It was well written, but like, he was kind of going with a lot of tropey things. Like, I had seen a lot of the stuff that was happening in the book.
Right.
Only the nationality and the place was changed. So then when they got to this point where usually there would be a shootout, another family member would have died, and you know, like, that's when the escalation would have happened, and or more guys from the city would have came down, you know, type of thing. That didn't happen. They come outside, you hear the knock, and you think that, like, oh my god, the idiot brother's gonna get shot. Nope. There's the cop at the door saying, like, hey, you know these idiots, they're gonna kill you. And you're just like, yes! Dude, I didn't see that coming! Yeah!
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Totally.
That's the shit that thrills me. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, and, you know, I read a little bit of Eliot's work prior, like, through Valiant. Like, he did some Quantum and Woody. He did, like, Ninjak versus the Valiant Universe, I believe it was called, which was good. So this was the first thing that I read outside of it, and I was like, oh, man, I hope he does more of this. And now, you know, over the past like year or something, we've seen more books. Like, he's got the Vol book coming, he has a Vol book out, he has Midnight Vista by Aftershock as well. I think he's like a up-and-comer. Like, people better like get used to hearing this name, because he's going to be all over the place, because his work is magnificent in my opinion.
Yeah, I would definitely, yeah, I'd say he's like right there with, you know, somebody like John Waters, or Dan Waters, or a couple of these other guys that you kind of seen them around for a little while, but now they're really hitting their stride because somebody finally let them tell the stories that they're amazing at.
Mm-hmm.
And like, yeah, like, dude, like, this guy just revolutionized noir. I mean, like, I enjoy Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips' stuff, but at the same time, it's becoming very formulaic. It's all becoming very samey. Same thing with Greg Rucka. So to have a book like this, it was kind of like, hey, look, we're going to do this Ed Brubaker type thing. No, we're not. Look at this. We did. this is what I wanted. This is what I need as a noir fan, you know what I mean, to keep me invigorated into the damn genre.
Yeah.
I mean, no offense. I'm going to keep reading Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips shit. Don't get mad at me. Don't at me angrily. But, like, I wish that All My Heroes Were Junkies was better. You know what I mean? Like, I really do. Like, I was really hyped for that book, and
yeah, I get that.
It wasn't this. You know what I mean? And sadly, you know what I mean? And like, I'm sorry if I expected this from that, but I should, right? I mean, like, he's the greatest. And then we got this kid coming out of nowhere writing a noir book that just dwarfs his.
Yeah, this book is really good. I know it was like on our podcast, Street Level Floppies. Like, I think we did the first four issues, and we always talked about it because I always felt like when it was out, no one was talking about it, and I felt like he needed more hype for it. You know, more people need to know about this book, and I'm glad that we're taking the time to talk about it, and I'm excited because, you know, I can hear the excitement in your voice and stuff of you. Like, Eliot Rahal just popped your cherry and stuff with this book.
Well, he's definitely put his name is added to the list of people that I'm going to be looking for, and I'm going to be picking up their subsequent work and their work from before this. Definitely since he did Quantum and Woody, I read a lot of Priests and who was the guy that did it afterwards? James S. Smith, Quantum. So I have to check out Eliot's though, because
yeah,
I love Quantum and Woody. It's such an idiot book, but it's a lot of fun. So, and like with his odd humor, he has a very dark humor. It does shine through a bit in this book,
uh-huh.
not as much as I would hope, but even though this book wasn't supposed to be a comedy, so the few bits of humor we did get was wonderful. Like with the dumb shit brother and his buddy with the bomb, you know, that was a great scene.
Yeah.
It was a nice little bit of comedy out of nowhere in a book where you're just kind of like glued to your seat, like, oh man, how's this going to come to an end? How's this going to, and it doesn't disappoint. Like when you get to the final act with the hotel room, good stuff, man. Just buy and read this. If you haven't
right.
checked it out yet, I give it a glowing recommendation. And I love noir. Like, I've done so many videos on crime drama and Fred knows. So yeah, and then this is top notch. Yeah, this is very exciting to see from somebody that's kind of just getting their name out there. So I can't wait to see what he does next. I have the first issue of Midnight Vista. I love the art. I haven't read it yet though, but I've looked through it. It looks great though.
Yeah, it's a good book too, and that's based upon real events that happened to Elliot as well. So.
Oh yeah, you were telling me before the show that this one is actually somewhat based on his family, right? His he's actually
like
a Lebanese himself. He's actually lives up in Minnesota, which is kind of neat. So that's why he was like kind of like, you know, nobody does crime drama in Minnesota. Let's do something, which is hilarious in my opinion. And then like the fact that he decided he would bought a sandwich at a vending machine and was like, huh. Wonder if I could do a whole noir story based off of this, these things. And
this whole issue started off with just finding a finger in a vending machine sandwich.
So good.
Yeah, it's really good. And, you know, Jorge Ferones' art is magnificent. The bubble placements were spot on. It was a total team effort, and it was definitely, like, a great book. I wish that they came out with the second art. Elliot has mentioned that he doesn't believe that it will ever happen, but I'm still hoping. My fingers are still crossed. Even if I got one that's dislocated, it's crossed.
Yeah, like if because this definitely says that the Khoury family's saga is over, so he might be able to come up with like some kind of Midwestern beef baron story. Just hopefully he can come out with a story as good as this one. Otherwise. If this is the only one he does, I wouldn't feel bad, because if he tries to poop one out and it doesn't come out as good, that would be worse. So
that's true.
You know, same thing happened with, because like they put out Cold War, and I asked Sabella, like, dude, that book has a clear ending, but it says Volume 1. Are you planning a sequel for that? And he's like, no, I'm not, but Aftershock told me to call it Volume 1 just in case I ever come up with another idea. So it's kind of a neat thing that Aftershock's allowing them. They're not necessarily meant to follow it up, but if they ever want to, that's open to them for this. But that's kind of neat. A lot of companies don't do that. A lot of companies are like, oh, that didn't sell too well. You know, like, give us something better, or see if that other guy wants to put it out. Aftershock's like, yeah, that's pretty cool, you know. I'm like, we had fun with that. If you have a second idea, bring it back. We'll run it. You know, that's pretty rad for a label to be doing for up and coming kids like Sabella. I mean, Sabella's pretty made now, but when Cold War came out, he wasn't as. You know what I mean? That was before Crowded, and like Crowded really blew him the fuck up. So
it sure did. It sure did. Oh. High Crimes was up there too, but yeah.
Well, High Crimes is what really made that, really cracked it. That's what got him his boom exposure. That's what got him to do Dead Letters and Welcome Back, which got him, you know, up to where he's. I don't understand why, because he is, since High Crimes, he should have been writing. He should have been as huge as he is now, but he's had to like climb this ladder, and his books have just been consistently wonderful. So like Sabella's very much earned his success.
True.
And I love Crowded, so I'm not mad that that's the book that got him famous, but I do wish that, you know, he should have been famous before then, because a lot of his books before then were just as good, in my opinion.
True. And this book is good. Sync is good. Killtopia was good. It was pretty good. Pretty good three books to be rating for this episode, don't you think?
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, yeah, no, these, if you get these books that we talked about here, you're talking about one at least one good night or two good days of reading, depending on how you space it out, because I'm the type of guy that I'll sit down and read all three books at once. And like, this would be just a killer book binge, honestly, for anybody and everybody, unless you don't like horror or noir. And if you don't, there might be something wrong with you then, because like if you don't like horror, that I can get that. But if you don't like horror and noir,
then I guess we'll have to come up with a fantasy one podcast one week.
Are you sure you can handle that?
I will not be on that show.
Okay. Well, because me and Chris got already did one. We talked about Monstrous, which I don't know. I think you should be able to dig that. It's nowhere near like the kind of fantasy you dislike. That's actually a brutal hardcore comic.
Yeah, I've read a couple volumes of that. Yeah, I think it's on my shelf behind me.
There's no little people with hairy feet.
No,
at all.
No. That is true. Well, I think that we should hit our handles. You want to give your handle, and then I'll give the page handles as well?
Yeah, you can get at me on Twitter at JohnnyAlpha81, and you can hit me up, talk to me, join the graphic vandalism team, be part of making my videos, help me come up with ideas, just be influential, be part of the crew. You can talk to Fred, you can talk to everybody. I'm very, very friendly. I include everybody who wants to be a part of the community as part of my community, so you're very welcome to come at me and talk to me, whatever. I'm very, very open to anybody and everybody, so yeah. At JohnnyAlpha81.
Right, and you can find me on Twitter at ComicsFred. You can find Nerds from the Underground on Twitter at NerdsFrom, and also our sister page at Indie Alley. And where to find our podcast? You can find our podcast. Go to nerdylegion.com/podcast/Indie Alley, and we'll be under that banner. If you subscribe to Indie Alley right now, or nerdylegion.com, you can if you subscribe to all the podcasts on there, you'll constantly get them. So when Nerds from the Underground drops, you'll get it. It'll say Indie Alley, but you'll read the little banner there saying what the episode's about. Boom, here we are, right in your ears. So without further ado, I just want to say we don't hate if you trade weight. We out.